For thy name is excellent, our Abba. As we gather here in the Bayat of our great King, to esteem your mighty name, we come before you in the power and the hope of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We cry unto you for the mercies of our Abba that were renewed this day. That you will touch us all and assure us by the revelation of your truth and Yahshua. What a mindset, what a generation that believes that their reasoning, their intellectual prowess has shortened it. As they try to obscure the account of Almighty Yahweh, His power. They have the power to denounce you, to say what is real and what is not real. Yet you made the air in the hush of my hand. Man cannot give any explanation for the air that we breathe. But he understands the oxygen and hydrogen that makes up this composition. It causes the vitality of life to be in these earthen tabernacles. Yet he thinks some kind of reason of intellect of a man. It is by the power of our Abba that we stand. We have the light and the promise of Yahshua, healing power. We can come before you and cry unto our Abba to sustain us and to heal us. So as we bow before you tonight, we pray for your healing power upon your people, those that are here in this bayat, and those that will hear this broadcast tonight wherever, as they come live across the internet live stream, those that will hear it in some other form, and those that will hear the message of the kingdom truth, that they may be assured and reassured that all is well in the inward parts, and that you are the creator of all things, and that you shall take care of Israel. So bless us all tonight. Give us comfort and assurance in Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We pray for the safety of the brothers as you bring them home. At our sister Hunter call tonight, we all join together here for Pastor Hunter. That situation that has arisen, you are able, Almighty Yahweh, to deliver. We pray for that. As Dr. Snyder wrote me today to pray for the circumstance that has arisen, one that is very cataclysmic, we pray for that situation, for your mighty power to move, and that your name will be honored in the midst of your people. We are how are you tonight, Yah? We bless you. We praise you for all things. Give us comfort in our love that all is well. The reassurance of your word tonight. We bless you in Yahshua's mighty name. We worship you. The shalom of Jerusalem. Shalom upon your people. In every nation. Under every form of government there is. We pray for your strength upon them. And your blessing to rest upon this place, this community. Yahshua's mighty name. We bless you, we praise you, we barak you. In the mighty name of HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, we bless you. We told Yah. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Come on.
Thank you, Abba.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Abba.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praises. Unto you, my Abba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have
songs, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to have the young ones. Come on, Brother Allen, you all work this mic. It seems as though that the volume is just a little too high. Come on, little ones. It's not as much as the volume as the sound, my brother. You all come on and sing a couple of songs for us, and then I will come and preach. We greet you all that are listening on the live stream tonight. May the shalom of Yah rest upon you mightily, and may the words of Yah cause a regeneration within your love to truly seek Him and to be inspired by what Almighty Yahweh is doing in this hour, a time of great peril upon a generation of people. We will trust Him for all things. We have our young ones, the little ones, and they're going to come and sing tonight for us, and sing healing virtue to the hearts of the people of Almighty Yahweh. So we bless you all tonight, you that are listening, and you that are in this bayat on tonight. We do brakia for all things, and above all things, for the preciousness of HaMashiach. So you that are listening tonight, here's our little ones. They're going to sing a very beautiful song, two of them, for you all. Shalom, and then Pastor Roberts will speak. Certainly it was a wonderful pleasure to hear that. Told Aya for the inspiration, the singing of the little ones, and told Aya for Brother Patrick for his continuous willingness to work with the little ones and to assist in that arena, Sister Rivanda. We do bless Yah for that. When a time, the generation whereby the people, the mindset of the people, there is no true hava for the things of Almighty Yah. You find a shallow people that are inspired by substance which has no value at all. It is not the substance of Almighty Yahweh. What I want to inspire us tonight, I want to emphasize, I want to define something first, a particular word. The reason I do want to touch on this message tonight is because I do believe that it was on Monday or Tuesday, Brother Allen, Brother Patrick, and myself, we were dialoguing at the dining hall table. And I made a statement unto the young brother that I certainly do want Yahweh to keep me around as long as it is His will. And he responded to me, Brother Patrick, and I could sense the jubilation and the joy in his love that I want that as well, Pastor Roberts. The assurance, comfort. And that is what friendship does. As I labored with the brothers today, Brother Christopher, Brother Randy, and Brother Patrick, as we split the wood today, I certainly do enjoy the inspiration that comes from the love of my brother and brothers. And the words that they speak are very profound. It is based upon scriptural doctrine, based upon solid principles of foundation. It is not based upon some disillusional or some illusional approach in the philosophized knowledge of man, in some kind of belief system that has been created by man, or some other form of worship. I want to say to us tonight, and you that are listening, there is nothing more valuable than friendship. And the reason we don't understand friendship is because we don't understand what Scripture says concerning friendship. It is a very valuable lesson in relationship between brothers and brothers, or brother and brother, sisters and sisters, or sister and sister. It is a very important, valuable element. And a man without friend is almost like a desolate land or a ship without an oar, because it is very valuable to have friends. Now, everyone that says that he or she is a friend, that does not mean that that one is a friend according to Scripture. And Scripture must define what friendship is. Scripture must imply what friendship is. And there are very few that have friends today. I want to define, first of all, what friendship is, the ra'ah. Very interesting the way it is enunciated in the Hebraic expression, ra'ah. Very interesting. It means friendship. I want to define this before I establish the beauty of friendship and why there are those that cannot be friendly, do not know how to be friendly, and will never establish any kind of friendship in this life with anyone. I want you to understand the ra'ah it is of Yahweh. First of all, it is a covenant, a husband and a wife. There's a vow unto one another and a regard and an honor. That if that is a true wife or husband, they will never do anything to defy the covenant of that relationship. It is based upon an alliance, a true alliance. And when one is in alliance or treaty with each other, They will not do anything that will defy the order or the pacifics of the treaty. It is one thing about the Ahava or the true sensitivity of the love of Yahweh. If one truly has it, one will not do anything to violate that purity of his pure Ahava. It is based upon a pledge. When one pledges that beauty of friendship in their love, they will not do anything to cause it to be diminished or demolished or to create any kind of schisms or ism to bring about a divide. It is one thing that will destroy a friendship more than anything. And that is the tattletelling of one, because they will separate the chiefest of friends. If you want to find a friendship annulled, you go to one that is a busybody or a tattleteller, and they will separate the chiefest of friendship. They will bring it to an annulment, or they will destroy it. It is based upon this constitution. And what is a constitution? It is a pledge, or it is amendments that one has created in their love or written in their mind, their spirit. And they will not allow anything to break that strong relationship or that dependency that they have upon one another. A constitution is a writ of strength, of liberty and liberation. As we look at the Constitution of America, a constitution of friendship, it is governed by the laws that we practice in that friendship. Now, a tattleteller or a busybody or a liar, they can never be friends to anyone at all. You cannot trust the expression of a liar or one that is busy in the affairs of others. You cannot trust that. If you want to find out if you have a friend, you tell that one something that is personal and see if that will reverberate or it will come back to you. You will know that that is a tattleteller. That is one that is a falsehood, and they will separate the chief as of friends. Hallelujah. It is an ordinance, an alliance of friendship, as based upon a marriage with a husbandman and his wife, that there is fidelity, there is caring, there is kindness, there is consideration. There is an emotional expression within the context of friendship. All these are the basic elements of friendship, and it expresses the characteristics of a true friendship. And that is what I'm going to emphasize tonight, a true friendship. It was one thing that I often said, even though when I was in the world, I certainly wanted friends. And I would go to the greatest lengths with those that I considered my friends to assure that allegiance and the constitution that was in me, that I would not allow anything to defy it or to break it. That were based upon that alliance and that allegiance that were based on confidence and trust and based upon a reality. Today, friendship, what we call friendship, it is this subtle falseism that is based upon greed and covetousness and one's own corrupt appetite of the advantage that they may take of the one that they call their friend. So friendship is very valuable. I will show you. It is an alliance as friendship of marriage, as between Yahweh and man. And it is also an attachment to another by affection and esteeming. That one has a true affection for another, and because of that affection that one esteems the other, as Scripture says, we ought to esteem others more highly than we do ourselves. You find a false man or a woman, that extinguish themselves often and can never see the putrefied state of their mind, you can never develop a friendship with that type of individual. Oh, they may declare that they are your friend, or there is a friendship there, but there is no friendship of affection and emotions there. I want to show you in Scripture one of the most profound friendships that the Torah talks about, the Tanakh. It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. And it talks about Yahwatnathan or Jonathan and his friendship with David. It says this, I like the expression of how Scripture conveys this to us. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking to Shaul, that his nephesh, or his soul, the soul of Jonathan, was kashah, it was knitted. Now that is a profound, interesting statement there, or the verb to express the emotions that were shared between those two. That the inwardmost part of Jonathan, and David, it was knitted together. It was brought into that oneness, a state of character, concern, love, and affection. This is a generation today that is friendless. It doesn't show itself friendly. It is not a friend to anyone. Husbands and wives never establish the kind of affectionate friendship that brings about this allegiance and alliance one unto another. And it creates great confidence of assurance of trustworthiness. And so the being, the mind, the personality of Jonathan was knitted with the soul of David. And it says, and Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. And that is how he loved David. And it was reciprocal that he cared for him in such a great fashion that he would deny himself to satisfy the assurance of David to make sure that this constitution was established in David of the same strength that he expressed this affectionate hava unto him. To express unto him, it is not just some passe association, but it is a friendship. It is not based upon what I can secure from you, but it's based upon a mutual affection. That what I possess is yours. It has nothing to do with what gain I can secure from you. But all that I have to offer unto you, that's what friendship is. And when a man is truly a friend to his wife, or the wife is truly a friend to her husband, it's not based upon what I need or what is most important to me. It is the assurance of the spouse. What is most valuable and beneficial to this relationship of friendship? That's why many today cannot be friends. They don't know how to be friends. They never establish any kind of friendship. And what we call friendship is based upon this disillusion of false assumption of what we believe is friendship. And it's not the friendship. It is not the ra'ah, this allegiance, this alliance, this mutual regard, this constitution that is based upon the strength of Ahava. For he loved David as he loved himself. Scripture tells us to love our neighbor. That is the command of Yahweh. as we love ourselves. To love Yah with all that we possess, with every fiber of strength of integrity, and then we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Don't tell me that our neighbors are the mass populace of the world. You have not perfected that kind of ahava. That's all right, brother. Leave it there. Among those that there is some perception of knowing, or you perceive, you know them. So don't tell me that you have this great affection for those that you have never visited, that you don't know, that you have no understanding of them. How can you be a friend with one when you can't even be a friend to your neighbor? It is a false, disillusional lie. And that is why many never establish any kind of friendship, any kind of allegiance, alliance with anyone. That's why many are like hermits. Their lives are segregated. There is no interaction. There's no heartfelt warmth for anyone at all. That is what the strength of a friend does. When a man is truly the friend of his wife, there will be a warmth there. When a woman is truly the friend of her husband, there is a warmth, there is an allegiance, there is a trust, there is a knitting of one's heart together. So when she feels, you feel. The friendship among the people of Yah is based upon what is expedient for me that I may get gained. And that is why when one is tried by affliction, it doesn't affect you at all. When you are truly a friend to one, when one is buffeted or tried, it is a great concern of yours, because you will find in Shemuel, when David was tried by Shaul and Jonathan, his friend, he loved him, that he would not take even the side of the king. Because their friendship was not based upon royalty or power or what one could gain from the other, but it was based upon that allegiance, that constitution, that love, which was the strength of their friendship. And most people today have no ahava, so they cannot be friendly. This is a cold, distant generation. It has been brought up to be cold because it is disillusional. It is a generation of segregation and separatism. It is one thing about a true friend. I will characterize the true friendship in Scripture. Let me emphasize this in chapter 18, verse 1 of Shemuel. He said, and that the soul or the nephesh of David and Jonathan was one. I want to define that for you in Aramaic sense. It simply means this, listen, the self, life, appetite. His whole life was based upon the assurance of David. His appetite was the concern of David, and vice versa. His mind was given over to him, his desire, his emotion, his passion, and the inward being of Jonathan. That there was such a knitness that when David was afflicted, then he was afflicted. We are a people and a generation because we have no friendship. Because we are a selfish, wicked generation. Because we don't want truth to judge our love and to judge what is in us. That we do not want to establish what Yah intends for us to establish among each other. And that is the purity of friendship. The Ra'ah of Almighty Yahweh. That there be a true friendship. A true friendship. Not the spirit of a busybody or teller that separate chief friends, but is based upon that knitting of one's being with their sister or with their brother. We're not going into the kingdom without being friend, because it is one thing that is sure of a friend. A friend will look out for a friend. Where you're not friendly or your friend or perceive one as your friend, you do not care about them. And that is the truth. And so this establishes this profound relationship of one that, or two that were truly friends. And the friendship was not based upon one's gain from the other. It was based upon the love that one had for the other. It was based upon the emotion, the inward parts of that one, because that one cared for the other equal as the other cared for him. And to have friendship in this world, that is a beautiful thing to have, because very few have friends. I know what the world calls friendship. They are not friends. There is no friendship, there is no strength in their accommodation and their association. What Yah wants us to have is this kind of ahava and this kind of knitting of our lev, our inward parts, our entire being, as David and Jonathan possess. Hallelujah. There's something that is very profound in the Apocrypha, and I want to read it. Hear what it says. It's in Sirach. Chapter 7, verse 17. It says this to Israel, whosoever fears Yara, whosoever trembles, fears Yahweh, direct his friendship aright. They do not just go and tie themselves to anyone as a friend. But when a man truly fears Yahweh, he directs his friendship. His friendship is correct. He knows who is his friend. That daughter of Zion, she knows who is her friend. And she will not give herself or her friendship over just to anyone. And scripture teaches us that, not to do that. So when a man that fears Yahweh, he directs his friendship aright, correctly. For as he is, so is his neighbor also. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This is a generation that does evil. And I'm talking about those that say that they are children of Yah. This is a generation that will do evil unto one another. There's no concept of fidelity and love. There's no sense of friendship with husband and wife. It is a sad thing. And yet one can go out to the world and show themselves friendly to the world. Yet you cannot show yourself friendly to your own spouse, your wife, your husband. One can go to the world and obey them in every command. And yet to those that they are joined together with a knitting of love, yet they have disdain for what they speak or say to them. There is something drastically wrong in the mindset. There's something twisted in this generation, in the mindset of this generation. So a man that fears Yahweh, he will be careful how he chooses friend. A daughter of Zion, she will be careful how she chooses her friends. Because she does not want to choose a tell-teller. Or a busybody, or one that loves to gossip, because they will separate you from the one that you have established friendship and allegiance with. They will separate you from them, whether you believe that or not. So a man is fearful of Yah because he will not associate himself with the wicked, those that are corrupt and vile, sadistic and evil. He will not associate himself with those of that magnitude. So he is very wise in choosing his friendship. He does not give himself over to just any kind of friendly relationship. It's amazing because you will go to the world and you talk with such ease with the world, do you not? You can almost disclose everything about you. There are folks go before strangers and they can tell them everything about their lives because they have confidence in them. Never known them, never seen them one day in their life, but they have confidence in them. And yet we say we know Yah. We have no confidence in him. You say you know your husband. And you can even say things to him or to your wife. But yet some total stranger, you can do that somewhere. It's not based upon friendship. It's based upon a false, frivolous hypocrisy of emotionalism that it's just like the waves of the sea. It's up, it's low, it's high tides, and it's low tides. So it's not based upon the strength of this perfect example of what friendship is and what friendship will do. Friendship will carry you even in death. Friendship will sustain you in the midst of perils and great trials of even death. It did it with Jonathan and David. They were not separated. Or they may have been apart from each other. And yet when David said to Jonathan that Shaul desires to kill me, he said that I'm not rejecting what you said, David, but I will try my avat. And when he tried him, it was sure. And because he was knitted to David, if he had watched Shaul destroy David, he would have been destroyed. So he said to David, you run for the safety of your life for this time. For the hand of Yah is upon you. You can never have a true friendship without the direction of Almighty Yahweh. You need that ahava of Yah. When a man established friendship or a daughter Zion, they show themselves to be friendly. We're not just very friendly, are we? Just take a look at your own countenance and your own ruah. You'll know what's in you. Everything Yah speaks to us, it is to chastise us. It is not to make you feel at ease in Zion. It is to correct you. Every word of wisdom that parents or a parent gives to the child or children, it is a form of correction there. It is always said to bring about an excellent, and that excellent is the working of that knowledge revealed unto you that it may produce substance in you or fruit, as scripture says. Nothing greater than a pure friendship. Nothing. There's nothing greater than a pure friendship. I want friends. I don't know about you, but I want friends. I love to have friends. And I want friends. So I will show myself friendly to my brothers that I do know. Hallelujah. And I will not be a tout teller to separate myself from Deacon Benny or Brother Dale or Brother Patrick or Brother Kevin. Well, Pastor Roberts, you have said things to just infuriate me. I thought other night, it's amazing because you think that Brother Christopher has not said things to infuriate his wife. But yet you move beyond that, do you not? You think that Brother Kevin or Sister Angie has not said things to infuriate him. But a pure friendship moves beyond that. A pure friendship does not ascertain or retain that kind of thought to use that as a weapon against a friend. A true friend will not bring up those things that have been washed or covered under the blood of HaMashiach. A true friend will not do that. In true friendship, there's one essence of true friendship. I'm going to read it. I'll get to it. Look at what Yaakov, James says in James 4:4. Yaakov. First of all, he said, you adulteress. One who is faithless toward Yah. When you find a man that is faithless toward Yahweh, or a woman that is an adulteress, spiritually one that rejects the commands of Yah, he said, you adulteress, you faithless ones toward Yah, and you adulteress, this harlotry spirit that you possess, this unclean apostate mindset, that is what he identifies them as, that no one will escape. He says, know you not that the friendship of the world is hatred or enmity with Yahweh? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, you are an enemy of Almighty Yahweh. If your association, your friendship is based upon those that are of that spiritual qualification, adulterers and adulteress, those that are pagan and apostate, those that have no faith toward Yah. He said, do you not understand that you have created some enmity against me? How can you be a friend of the world, be a friend of Almighty Yahweh? How can you retain this corrupt mindset of the world, be a friend of Almighty Yahweh? The unforgiveness, this corruptness in one. When one cannot see themselves, when you cannot see yourself, you are an adulterous one. You are an apostate one. Your mind is filthy, you are unclean, and you are apostate. What a man labors all day, he realizes that he needs a bath, doesn't he? When a woman labors all day, when she takes care of the affairs that ought to be taken care of, she will realize at the close of the day she needs a bath. And a bath always refreshes, doesn't it? Even though when you don't feel like taking, when you find yourself taking one, it brings about this renewing, doesn't it? That's what it does. And that is what the word of Yahweh does. It always renews us and to show us how unclean we were. Now we have been washed by the word of Yah. And the word of Yahweh creates this renewed, invigorated mind or the spirit in us. So it always directs us to us. The word always directs you to you. And judgment must always begin at the house. So your assessment of what almost always must begin in you. That's why I will not receive judgment of men who are shallow with no strength or sister or anyone that shows no character or strength of Yah. I will not receive their judgment. Because it's not a judgment that is coming from Yah. It is coming from the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ear. It is not a discernment of the Ruah of Yah. As HaMashiach says, tell me my sins. And when you do that, bring another witness with you. And make sure your witness is proper. And make sure the one that you bring, that they have a true witness too. Don't bring one that is a liar. And the reason you bring one that is a liar, because you're a liar. Hallelujah. Though proverb, birds of the same feather flock together. That's a true proverb. Hallelujah. So do you not understand that the friendship of the world, the appetite to be drawn to this worldly friendship, don't you understand that it's enmity against Yahweh? It is a hatred of Yah. We understand the scriptures and you know them, how a friend loves at all times. But I'm not going to use those scriptures tonight, because those are not the only scripture that talk about friendship. Hallelujah. It says again in Sirach, listen to this, Sirach 22:20. You write this down if you have the Apocrypha. You can always go and look at these verses. Sirach chapter 22:20. Now, if I did not tell you from the Apocrypha, you would figure, where is that? Out of Proverb, Tehillah, Mishlei. But it says this, one who throws a stone at birds scares them away. Is that a true proverb? Is that a true statement? Certainly one does. And one who reviles or scolds a friend will break off a friendship. One who scolds a friend will break off a friendship. Even if you have drawn your sword against a friend, it tells you, be not despair. For a renewal of friendship is possible. For a renewal of friendship is possible. Well, Pastor Roberts, no one that is a friend would actually scold one. You men that are espoused to your wife are your friends. And you wives that are espoused to your husband, are you his friend? Wife, you have never scolded your husband. And husband, you have never scolded your wife. Do you not understand the futility of a thinking of this mindset that is enmity against Yah? Because the first thing we think, well, if Sister Roberts is my friend, Pastor Roberts is my friend, why would he ever scold me? Did Yahweh scold Abraham? You don't know the scripture. Even when Abraham came to him about Sodom and Gomorrah, because Lot was there, was he not weary with him? Was he his friend? Absolutely he was. We think on an analogy because we don't understand meaning of simple words. And we base them upon our environment or our vernacular. And we literally think we understand the true meaning, and you don't. Don't tell me a wife has never scolded or talked within her own self against her husband, or a husband scolding his wife. They should be raising your voice. Come on, Sister Roberts. That's not like what you're doing. Toda, son. Generation of hypocrisy. Parents will call their children their friends, will they not? Parents, have you ever scolded your children? You are very shallow. You're not very honest. You see, the word of Yah, it's meant to be like a fire. And what it is to do to show you what's in you. Don't tell me. Elder Martin has scolded his youngins. Just like Sister Dean has scolded her children. But that has not nullified the friendship. That has not nullified the covenant relationship. And because of our hypocrisy and our own unassurance, we are not sure of ourselves. We don't know how to answer in the appropriate way when Yah deals with us. Because we want to put ourselves above the measures of Yahweh. You just haven't made yourself friendly with anyone. Hallelujah. The word of Yah always cuts. It's like it's sharp, it's powerful than any two-edged sword. It cuts. It separates. If it doesn't do that, even in a simple truth like this friendship, it cuts us. It cuts viciously. Because we have missed the mark, haven't we? Sure you have. It's almost making a pie and you forget the most essential ingredient. And when you taste that, you say, it's just not right. This is not right. I'm sorry, that coconut cream cake. I simply like the cream. I want the corner pieces because the cream seems to flow to the corners. Of course, I always share with the brothers, Deacon Benny, whomever, Elder Martin. And of course, they do not realize I've taken the corner pieces or the pieces on the edge, because that's the part that part I like the best. And she knows when she bakes that, she does her tests when some of the essentials did not just knit itself in that cake the way it should have. And that is what friendship is. It's a very sweet thing. When you ever find true friendship, you will find that it is a bright light every day. It causes one's love to blossom. When Yonathan would wake up in the morning, David was on his mind. And vice versa. That's the beauty of friendship. Come on, why is something wrong with you if your friendship with your spouse? He never crossed your mind in the course of the day. You never bow down and say, "Yah, bless my husband, my head." Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you, man, if your mind is so intertwined and so knitted with the world that she never crosses your mind or she is not at the pinnacle of your mind. Something is wrong. Toda, my brother. This is a generation that thinks that way. And it doesn't want to be corrected. It certainly doesn't want it to be revealed that it's in one. We're part of this generation. We have not made ourselves free from it. So even if you draw the sword against a friend, what is the sword? It is the word of Yah. So friends, I draw the sword of Yah against you. And I draw it to destroy and to sever the root of sin and your selfishness that has caused you not to be drawn in some kind of friendly relationship or friendship. So I use the sword of Yah. Peradventure that the friendship may be renewal, that it can be restored, that there can be restoration of the friendship, that it can be brought into that knitted oneness or knitted together there will be a pure relationship of one. Hallelujah. The words of the Apocrypha, they're not wrong, because they're based upon the truth of Yah. That's what it's based upon. Brothers and sisters, there were many writings, and I do believe that. Men today, and they have philosophized everything, and even though they're philosophy, they don't realize that it's a form of religion. It is a form of worshiping or taking great jubilation in the thought of man, which man thinks or perceives he has created. It's such an ill-gotten folly, because you have not created one word. Lucere, I cannot create one word. Now, what are your children can create one word? Neither have you. Your mind have been shaped and formed by some input, whether it is visual, whether it is audio, in some form, your mind, your personality, your ideas have been shaped by someone that came before you. And to sit here and think that it has been shaped by you, what did you have to invest in you to shape that? You're full of folly and stupidity. How stupid can you be? You are really stupid. I might as well sell you the Golden Gate Bridge for $500. Buy it. Give you an authentic sales paper for it to say it's yours. Well, no one will fall for that. You don't believe that? They have what they call the Star Registry. That people in the Star Registry, they buy stars to put their names on the star. It's a multi-million dollar industry. That people literally think that they're buying something. Go by the name of David Dyweed. And they will send you an astrological chart to show you where your star is. People buy it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They do it all the time. And in my days, they had a thing called the pet rock. You can sell this nation anything. You can sell them a philosophy and they actually think that they have something great. How shallow we are. We're the dust of the earth. And nothing without the breath of Yah. The Torah says in Exodus Shemoth, Exodus 33:11, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Now that's what a friend does. What does that mean? Can I ask you a question? Is Yahweh full of integrity or partial integrity? Is he the fullness of truth? Now that's what friends do. They speak face to face. That is the true metaphor of Yah speaking unto Moshe. That he gave him truth and honesty. A man that speaks to his wife and cannot be open, he is not a friend. A wife that speaks to her husband, she is not honest, she is not a friend. You that speak to your neighbor, your brother and sister, you're not honest, you're not friends. You're not trying to base or establish any kind of friendship. So he spoke to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. He looked in the eyes of Moshe. And he says, the fire of his integrity. And he says to him, friend, I have something to tell you. There's something about that pure friendship. It caused one to be consumed with that love, generosity, the kindness. Well, Pastor Robert, you call me friend and yet you have bruised me. That's all right. There were times my mother bruised mine. And I would say she doesn't love me. Does Yahweh correct his children? Did he correct Abraham? Was he his friend? Did he love Abraham? Did he correct him? Did he speak to him like a friend? A man? And that's what friends will do. There's an integrity there. There's an honest there. And because we've been nurtured in such iniquity, we don't know how to be honest. Hallelujah. The world has created this kind of mutated mindset. We want to pretend to be something we're not. We want to look like something that the world has created and make us think that is beauty. Sure we have. We want to dress like the world, say, this the way you dress because, honey, I got something and you have nothing. So there has been a false illusion created to draw this disillusioned mindset that we have that everything we do is based upon a false pretense. It's one thing about the pure friendship. It's not based upon a false pretense because when there's a true relationship there, it's not based upon a false pretense or a presentation of falseness to my brother. It's not based upon that. Is it based upon honesty and openness? I was talking to my deacon the other day. I said, Deacon Benny, I haven't shared this with anyone. I said, I share this with you because I trust you. I know your integrity. And I know when I say this to my deacon, it is said, it is done. It's finished. I said, I haven't spoken to anyone about this issue. No one. And that is the honest truth, friend. I had not. You're the only man that I spoke to concerning that issue. What was the issue? Well, you tell-tellers and you gossipers, if you knew, you would twist it all around. And you will say, Deacon Benny said this, or you heard it, and then you will separate chief friends. So he is wise enough not to tell you, and I certainly will not inform you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Yahweh speaks to him as his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant, Yahushua, and the son of Nun, a young man, departed out of the tabernacle. He spoke to him as he was a re'ah, one that was his companion, one that he was intimate with. That's what friends are. They're companions. They're re'ah. And they are intimate with each other. Brother, sister, you that are married, if you're not intimate with your spouse, there's no friendship there. And intimacy is a caressing and a tenderness, a touch. I say to you all the time, I'm weak when it comes to that. I'm very shy. I don't have it like my wife. Not that part. But there's an intimacy there. There is a warmth of caressing. Not what the world has taught with these Jezebels, sleeping with every man. It doesn't even have to eclipse to that. It is simply a companionship, a warmth, an intimacy of thought and caressing and touch and sense of that knitted oneness of each other. I would not want a wife without that. Hallelujah. You hypocrites must use your sword tonight, yeah. Use your sword. As many would say, your sword, but use your sword, yeah. Because it certainly cuts, gets down to the corruption, you adulteress and adulteress. Know you not the friendship of the world is enmity against Yah? When you can become intimate in a book and look at some trivial thing and say, oh, I want that, oh, I want love, and you will spend hours in that. When it comes to developing that friendship with your spouse, you spend no time with that. You're an adulteress. That's why you hate Yah. That's why the things of Yah never rouses you. That's why the truth of Yah never sparks you. Never causes your expression to be sparked. A little spark will start a fire, will it not? So I give you a little spark tonight. You show yourself friendly. And establish friendship. Well, you can go to the world and show them, I'm friendly. You false, disillusioned fool. I'm a very stern man. I don't like a lot of folly. I don't like folly at all. I don't like laughter. It's all right to laugh. There's a time to laugh. But I'm very stern. I'm disciplined when it comes to that. And so if I go to the world and show this aggressive need to friendship and renounce my brother, something is twisted in me.
I won't do it. Rather show my friendship to Brother Charles that I can look him square in the eyes and know that the integrity of the words that flow from my lips, it is the truth. I will not do anything to separate the friendship. Hallelujah. David cried into Helium 41, Psalm 41, 9. He says, yes, and this is a prophecy, a word of HaMashiach. But David said, yes, my own familiar friend, my own familiar re'ah friend, in whom I trusted. It is one thing about friendship, it's based upon trust. And if there is no trust, there is no friendship. You can't trust your spouse. You can't trust your brother. There's no friendship. If I can't trust Brother Dell, then what friendship do we have? It's one thing I love about my brothers. We're honest with each other. We don't protect nothing that is not of Yahweh. Whether it's Sister Roberts, Sister Honeycutt, we don't do that. It's one thing about brothers. Let me say this before. I'm going to finish this tonight, all right? Men, we tend to operate in a realm that's a little different than women. Please hear me. You don't want to be around Brother Dale if you're discussing a thing, especially, let me use this for instance. If I say to him, I believe I wear this size in my waist, he will look at you and he'll say, you got to talk a little better than that. You see, if a woman did that, well, oh, honey, I'm down to a 12. No, baby girl, 20 will fit you nice. Do you all hear me? Brothers, no, Brother Dale said, nah, that, and please not Elder Martin. You don't want that. You don't want that, believe me. Because men have the tendency to say, nah, Brother Dale would say, nah. All you got to do is do that. That's your problem. Men tend to deal with that honesty. For women say, oh, you wear a size 12? Oh, girl, you looking nice. No, that's not right. You don't wear that. As Granny said, you have squares in it. But that's not the right one. So the brother will say, no, that ain't it. Trust. And that's what friendship is based upon, trust. Well, does it wound? Why? What are the wounds of a true friend? I want to show you. You haven't read the scripture. And when you read it, you don't read it right. I'm going to show you, all right? I will show you, okay? Is that all right? He said, my own familiar friend, Brother Dale is my familiar friend. Brother Patrick, Deacon Horn, Brother Dole, these are my familiar friends. Come on, Brother Yosef. He's my familiar friend. I'm familiar with him. I'm familiar with his ways, his attitude. I went over today to help him load the truck, his little wagon. I use that expression. And so he said to me, I certainly appreciate you doing that. I said, my pleasure. Why? Well, I know that the wood that he put on the truck will keep me warm. Will keep you warm. So it's my pleasure to make sure the house stays warm. So I had no, it was a pleasure to do that. And simply to spend a little time with my familiar friend. He said, my own familiar friend. And so it is a great devastation when a familiar friend, someone you think you're familiar with, when they turn like a coward, beastly dog. Someone you don't know, it doesn't trouble you. But those that are familiar and are familiar with you, when they turn it is a sharp devastation. It cuts beyond comprehension. Some own familiar friend whom I trusted. Which did eat my bread, sat down and dined with me out of the same table, have lifted up his heels against me, has lifted up his own destructive manner against me. That's devastating. That is a tremendous effect on one. So when you become familiar, do you understand my familiarity with my deacon? He's with me. And for me to lift up my heels to destroy him? Do you understand the effect that it will have? That's why people today are very cynical because they have had relationships and they have had trouble with that. And so they perceive everyone as that last relationship. And it's not so. I tell men, I meet men, I say, look, my brother, I don't base our relationship on what relationship I have with another preacher, another brother. It would be wrong for me to do that. It's wrong. I'm not pessimistic like that. I said, based upon what fruit you present to me. I don't care what one has done to me, others. I will not take that and use it against a man that I don't know, that I'm not even familiar with. You have to know them that live among you. You have to know them. A wife that thinks she knows the man, and they spend a year or two calling themselves courting, and all of a sudden there's a whole different ru'ah reveal when they become united in that bondsmanship. Different spirit, different attitude. Well, I thought I knew you. Well, I thought I knew you too. Is that based upon that? What you actually said to them, what can I tell you what you're saying? Can I tell you what we have all said? You really don't know what's in you. That's why you said, I thought you knew. You really don't know what's in you. That's the whole issue. Everything in life points to me. Everything points to me. We love to throw it off on someone else, do we not? It's almost like little children. Well, mama, she did. I ain't doing it. And you got the rock and no, he threw it over that mama. And then you throw the rock away. Well, I've never done that. You hypocrite. You can recall and retain everything you've done as a child. And to say you never lied like that as a child, you're a flat out perverted hypocrite liar. You're twisted. I wouldn't trust you from here to the bean barn over there. And that's just the truth. It's the flat out truth. My own familiar friend. So we must know those that labor. We must know those that have the, and see if they have the same ru'ah we have. We must know them. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Mishuli, Proverbs chapter 27 verse 6. I love this verse here because we read it but we truly do not understand it. Mishuli 27 verse 6. It says, Proverbs 27 6. Faithful Oman, faithful, faithful. Do you all hear that? Do you all hear what I said now? I'm going to read it slow. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Did you all hear that? What are the wounds of a friend? Faithful. A friend is faithful. He is Oman. A friend is Oman. That is what that is. Faithful. Oman. A friend is a pillar. Supporter of a door. That's what that word Oman means. Faithful. No. Listen now. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. When you have a friend, their wounds are their faithfulness to you. And it scars you to see how faithful they are. Oh, I don't care what I do against us, he's still faithful. I don't care what I do against him. Faithful are the wounds. Not you running your damnable mouth. Not you scolding them. Not you saying this. You've never been a friend, so you don't know how to be faithful. You hear that? Faithful, Oman, support, pillars, sure, lasting, reliable, trusty, to stand firm, to trust, to be certain, to believe in. So faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds that a friend truly wounds you with is their faithfulness. Even though you reject their love, they're still faithful. And you can't handle that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, she said that. Well, faithful. Faithful. A friend is faithful. Well, I don't want to hear that kind of talk. Well, it's the truth, though, friend. I'm faithful. I will be a pillar for you. I will let you know what it's going to take. So faithful. That's what a friend wounds you with. Faithful. There have been men that they have had wounds. They have had wives. Listen. There have been men that have been wretched things. And because their wife was a friend, she knew what he was doing. And that wife was so faithful still. And it will wound the man. He couldn't handle the fact that he was a wretched dog. She was still faithful. She was still sure. And he was sure of her. Her strength was still, it was firm. Did You all hear me? And because of her faithful ways, it would wound him. He couldn't handle it. There was a sense of guilt and shame because of her faithful. Faithful. You understand? Oh my. Faithful. Faithful. Here's the wound of a true friend. When you got a friend, they will be faithful. Sure they will. We have a true friend. They will be faithful. Faithful are the wounds. Oman are the wounds of a friend. But the kiss of an enemy are deceitful. When someone speaks these rosary accolades to you, flattery lies, they're kissing you, really. It's not a physical gift. Oh, Deacon, maybe you're such a fan. Oh, Brother Patrick, you got the gift of yarn. The enemies. Kisses of deceit. It's one thing about a friend that's faithful. What about you, Pastor Robinson? Your wounds for me have come because of faithfulness. Persistent. Standing firm. To create assurance in you. But not the kisses of an enemy. Your familiar friend, brothers that we have been familiar with, they have been the ones too. Have not been strangers. But those that we've been familiar with. So one thing about a true friend, their wounds are faithful. That's the wound of a friend. His faithfulness. Hallelujah. That even bring you under deep conviction because of their faithfulness. Brothers that endure and they stay faithful and consistent. They are pillars, they are strength. It brings a wound to your heart when you know you have done something inappropriately against them. Because this is a callous generation, we don't sense that. We need men to instruct us. Let no one tell you you don't, brothers and sisters. I was saying to the brothers, I said, since Sunday, I have probably preached the first day of the week and laid out 5 or 6 messages. I may not ever preach them. But my mind is constantly in Scripture. To understand what Yah says. So we need someone that labors in Scripture. That's why the elder that rules well is worth of honor. Scripture says double. Especially they that labor in doctrine and in the Torah of Yah. You have a generation today thinks that it's going to tell you. An ignorant generation. One that has no affection toward Yah. I won't let them do it. You all trust me for that. I will not let them come here and do it. I don't care who they are. Do you hear me? I will not let someone that has no familiar spirit of ours, I'm not even familiar with the spirit, come and bring this hogwash. I will not let them do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to allow someone to get up here and reprove you without a witness of the expression of Yah in them. Why would I do that? You see me every day. All right, that's enough. Torah, son. Back to the 25th chapter of Mishlei, verse 13. I like this. Now, this one, it talks about faithfulness, all right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I want to read this quickly because I want to finish this up. It talks about faithful here, the faithfulness. As coal is, as the coal of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refreshed the soul of his master. That's what a faithful messenger does. The one that sends him, he refreshes the soul of the one that sends him. Bimidbar, Numbers 12:7. Yahweh said, my servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all of my bayat. He said, Moshe is not like the rest of them. He's faithful. Why? Because he was a friend of Yah. Yah visited him. He was his friend. And there's one thing, the wounds of a friend, they're faithful. It is the faithfulness of a friend. They will stand, they will be consistent. When a man or woman runs at the high wind or they hightail, they're not faithful. They're not friends. I don't care what they say. You can sit here all the time, I'm your friend. Means nothing to me. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Hallelujah. And it's the faithfulness of a friend that wounds you, the Oman of a friend, the Oman that wounds you. Say, my, oh, Deacon Benny, my, come on. You can't run him away. His faithfulness wounds me. continuously. It wounds. And because of his faithfulness, he is a pillar. It restores as well. Sure it does. Sure it does.